5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, welcome to the show, Giddy Up. Welcome into Morning Invest on this Tuesday. I'm Clayton Morris, so glad to be here with all of you. This is the only Morning Progressive show where we have a live audience where we get to interact, take your real-time questions and thoughts right here on the show. So I love our live interactive audience. If you'd like to become a channel member, you can do that too, where you can chat with us during the show. Go to morninginvest.com/join. So coming up on today's show, we've got a big story on why Republicans caved on the legislation process in the Senate. So Mitch McConnell caves, and now the stimulus can move forward, and it could move forward as early as next week, or this week, into next week. And we actually have a date when we might expect the new Biden $1.9 trillion plan to be rolled out. So all of that and more on the show today. We're also going to talk about Twitter trying to combat misinformation by basically employing a lot of hall monitors. Hey, if you've got a blue check next to your name on Twitter, you too can be a hall monitor and tell other people that they're spreading misinformation. This is the new era that we're in of censorship. If you're an elite, then you can censor other people who are not. I'll tell you about Twitter's plans
this
morning.
Dangerous.
And by the way, the mainstream media coverage of it is just hilarious because everyone holds up this idea of Wikipedia as being this incredible place. You know, this Wikipedia is just fantastic. So now Twitter is going to basically treat all of your tweets like they would Wikipedia. Like, we're going to check it against Wikipedia. First of all, Wikipedia is a joke,
you know,
filled with misinformation and run by corporate elites that want to push their own agenda.
I used to think Wikipedia was where you go, right? But then just with my ex-girlfriend, Luria, she was big in the tech world. She has misinformation on there, and she can't change it herself. You cannot go in and change information about yourself on Wikipedia, even if it's wrong. It has to be like some third party or something. It's ridiculous.
Oh, it's a total joke. I mean, it's a total joke what's on Wikipedia. And people can spread misinformation as much as they want. So if you ever go and get your information from Wikipedia, please, please rethink that approach to getting information in this world. Okay. Do not do it. Do not do it. So that's on the show today. We'll talk about that. Plus, people are canceling their cable subscriptions. So all of your mainstream news sources might alter, might start changing. And there's some panic in mainstream media world today, which is great. That means in favor of streaming. So people getting their information here from streaming news, from independent news sources like ours. I mean, imagine where else can you go on television to see people talking about progressive issues like we talk about here. Medicare for all, universal basic income. Good luck finding that. You're not going to see it anywhere. And so now people canceling cable subscriptions by the millions. We'll tell you the new numbers out this morning. They are astonishing. So it could be a new era for us. So we're going to get to all of that and more. Grover is here on this. With a little rain has now passed and subsided. David's in the control booth. He says, hello, welcome to the show. Send us your pet photos this morning, team@morninginvest.com, and we will feature some of them here on the show. But first, I want to tell you about our friends at IP Vanish. They are a fantastic service that will let you protect your internet. So when you're out there surfing the web, you should not be doing it in public. People do not need to know what you're surfing. You should be able to do whatever you want on the internet without breaking the law, of course. But you should be able to have the privacy and the online security, and it should be very, very stinking easy to do. So IPVanish is a virtual private network, VPN for short. It's a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You can use a VPN on your computer, your tablet, your phone, even things like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. When you use a VPN, all of your data is encrypted. What you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is you're doing, no one should be snooping on you. No one. Government, not other people, not people sitting at a public Wi-Fi spot at a Starbucks. It doesn't matter. So you should be able to surf the web privately. Go to ipvanish.com/morninginvest to get 65% off. 65% off. That's $3. $3.49. $3.49. Or $27 a year. It's time to go sign up right now. Show these guys some love. They're great repeat sponsors of our show. We really appreciate them supporting our show. They even rate, IPVanish is one of the best, even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot. That's with more than 6,000 reviews. So go to ipvanish.com/morninginvest. And again, they are a repeat sponsor of our show. And when you think about independent journalism and you think about sponsors who support us here, that means the world to us. And we only align ourselves with sponsors that we believe in, who do great things for our audience, and who also provide great discounts for our audience. So check them out. My thanks to IPVanish for supporting us and also helping you keep your internet browsing safe and secure. Very, very important. All right, so we're going to talk about the stimulus now because we've got a lot of news on that front and some kind of big news overnight. The battle over the filibuster has been tied directly to stimulus. And so if you don't think that this battle between Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer was a big deal, then you're wrong. So sometimes in Washington, though, this fight is just simply about the fight. And in the end, that's exactly what the standoff was over the filibuster. It was largely about the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer standing his ground against Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell in the early days of this new Democratic majority after Biden was inaugurated and they won two seats down there in Georgia. So to get any kind of stimulus plan through, or frankly, anything done in the Senate, we needed this filibuster solved. We needed these new ground rules laid between Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer to start the process in the Senate. This also means getting cabinet members approved, etc. Well, in the end, both of them declared victory, although there was one true winner, and that's Chuck Schumer. And they kind of both got nothing at all but the status quo. So they literally went to bat, and they actually, it was like a, what is the term? It's called a Pyrrhic victory. Right? Isn't that the term, a Pyrrhic victory, like back to the Battle of Pyrrhus, where I forget who, was it the Greeks fought against the Phoenicians? I forget exactly my history, and I haven't had enough coffee yet. But anyway, I think they lost so many people that, yes, they won the battle, but they basically lost the war because they lost so many people that it was a Pyrrhic victory. That's why we use that term, Pyrrhic.
I feel like they sit there and they're like, okay, we were able to not talk about stimulus during the insurrection, so that's good. So what could we bring up now that we could delay it some more? Well, there's that filibuster thing. Yeah, let's talk about filibuster, make that a big thing, and get a bunch of people behind thinking that that's really important right now. Okay, deal. Right. Let's fight it out. You want to do it publicly or privately? Let's do it publicly. Okay, let's do it.
We often know that that's how these things go. Like, we have to play almost like a good cop, bad cop. Let's do it in public. Let's have this debate. Let's pretend like we actually, but in the end, they're all corporate, right? So the Democrats are corporate, Republicans are corporate, and they're run by big corporate Wall Street and the defense contractors who don't want them to do anything meaningful to help the American people, right? The money needs to be spent on Wall Street and it needs to be spent on businesses. And if it's not going there, then there's no urgency. And there's nothing that they're going to do to want to help you.
I mean, at the end of the day, what the hell is the difference about then between the filibuster and them just hem-hawing around on every single thing that's for the American people? Like them going, like taking 9 months to get us a stimulus. A 9-month
right.
hem-haw
right.
Like, is a lot
right.
worse
like,
than
what is the difference?
Filibuster.
what's the difference? Right. I mean, you are filibustering. And by the way, the other day when Mitch McConnell was on the Senate floor holding all of this process up, he was literally on the Senate floor speaking for like an hour, filibustering. He was basically filibustering about the filibuster and holding everything up. So this little dog and pony show.
Exactly. It sends people, it gets people all riled up thinking, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, we need to get rid of the filibuster. So then their focus changes and it's like, it worked. We got them to change their focus again. Now what can we do? Like it's just a game.
Mark Phillips in our chat, Mark says, hey, Clayton, could you explain the filibuster in layman's terms, please? Sure. So a filibuster is like a parliamentary trick where you can go as a member of Congress in the Senate to the floor and like if legislation is about to be brought up for a vote, usually there's a timeline for which it can be brought up for a vote. Well, if you go down there and you bring like a phone book and you take your time, you literally could go nonstop for days, like reading a phone book, just standing there, or reading, you know, reading one name after the other in a phone book, doing something. But you've got to continually be holding the floor of the Senate. And you basically hold the floor hostage with nothing. And you're, like you ever get in an argument with a spouse or something, and they just will continually talk nonstop, nonstop, nonstop. And you're like, are you done filibustering? Because I'd like to say something. You know, and that's basically what it is, that a member of Congress holds the entire legislative process hostage by not allowing it to be brought up for a vote. And sometimes it works and other times it doesn't. Like there was that member of the Texas legislator from Texas who did that successfully in Texas and managed actually to filibuster some draconian abortion rules. And she actually managed to filibuster it long enough that she became like a bit of a hero in liberal circles. If I'm not mistaken, the coffee hasn't fully kicked in yet. So sometimes it works. Most times it doesn't. Like famously, Rand Paul randomly got up there and was going on and on and on. And finally, after like 12 hours, he had to use the bathroom. And because he left the Senate floor, that ended the filibuster. So it's a way for the minority party, which in this situation now are Republicans, it's a way for Republicans to hold up legislation that they don't like by using this little trick called the filibuster. And sometimes, like when I'm trying to do my show, Grover will start barking nonstop, and he's filibustering. And I can't do anything about it. And I just got to wait till he stops barking, and I can't concentrate. So Grover is filibustering right now. So that's basically what the filibuster is. That's not an elegant way of explaining it, but hopefully that makes sense. Did everyone, let me know in the chat if that makes sense.
You know, it's what just would have made it a lot more elegant?
It's a little parliamentary game, basically.
You know what would have made it a lot more elegant? A 5 o'clock shadow.
Everyone's ragging on me because I shaved. Yeah. I got rid of the scruff this morning. It was getting untamed. So anyway, the stimulus and the filibuster, they go hand to hand. They go hand in hand right now, like peanut butter and jelly. Yes, that's what I said. Don't you disagree with me? The filibuster isn't going anywhere for now. So in the end, it's exactly what Mitch McConnell wanted, but it's really just a reflection of the reality that Schumer doesn't have the votes to kill it. So Schumer didn't guarantee that he won't end the filibuster at some point during this Congress, but if he does get the votes on it. So here's exactly what happened. So I'm glad we went through this mess for a whole bunch of days and did nothing. It was a total waste of everyone's time. Thank you, Senate, because people aren't dying or anything. People aren't about to lose their homes or anything. So thank you, Mitch McConnell.
They filibustered the stimulus by fighting on the filibuster.
Exactly.
That's all this was.
So now the Senate can actually begin organizing its committees and start to pass stimulus legislation. So here's actually what happened. You want to blame one person? Well, more than anybody else, it was Senator Joe Manchin. And also Kristen Sinema from Arizona. I hope I'm saying her name right. Sinema. If anyone from Arizona tells me I'm saying her name wrong, let me know. But they both reiterated their longstanding commitment to keep the filibuster. They like it. They didn't want to kill it. And McConnell actually wanted... That was actually enough for him to give up the fight. He actually wanted, Chuck Schumer to have it in writing that he wasn't going to kill the stimulus or the filibuster. But he said, no, I'm not going to do that. So Manchin and Sinema then basically publicly said they wanted to keep the filibuster. And that's all he needed. McConnell basically had been demanding Schumer put it in writing that the filibuster would stay in place. So McConnell took what he could get, though, and basically said, okay, just because these guys that went out in public and they made this statement in public, did Manchin and Sinema, that's enough for me. Because we know that politicians never change their mind, right? So we don't have it in writing, but it was enough that they did a TV interview where they talked about it. Okay, ridiculous. So timing is everything in these negotiations, of course, and McConnell had already signaled yesterday afternoon he was ready to move on. Enough is enough. We've got to get work to do. So he came out with a statement. He said, today, two Democratic senators publicly confirmed that they will not vote to end the legislative filibuster, end quote. Now, he said that right before Chuck Schumer was on Rachel Maddow's show last night. And he said, quote, they agree with President Biden and my view that no Senate majority should destroy the right of future minorities in both parties to help shape legislation. Well, right at that same moment, Chuck Schumer was on television in a pre-taped interview. So it was a bit of a weird thing because here he had just done this interview with Rachel Maddow where he's talking about basically, hey, we're going to roll over Chuck Mitch McConnell. We don't give a rat's behind about the guy. My caucus is fed up with Turtle Boy. We're done with them. So it was like this weird time warp because this interview had been recorded like an hour beforehand. And so anyway, Rachel Maddow had to come out and sort of clarify certain things. But anyway, here's that interview where Chuck Schumer says, we're done. We're ready to move forward on stimulus. And we're tired of being played the fool on these issues like we have been time and time again. Here it is. Let me know your thoughts.
When President Obama was first elected and there were a number of big legislative lifts on the table, I feel like as an observer of that process, yes, somebody reporting on that process, I learned a lesson.
Yes.
I watched with, you know, with Obamacare, with the Affordable Care Act, the Republicans insisted that there not be any single payer option, there not be a public option, right, had to be based around the private insurance companies. And they insisted on all these changes that were made for them and then they didn't vote for it anyway.
Right.
And on the immigration bill, they insisted that their priority, deportations, all that be done up front. President Obama did all that up front and then they still didn't, right, vote for it. We saw it on the Recovery Act as well. They insisted that the Recovery Act be made smaller and significantly less effective and then they didn't vote for it anyway.
10 years it took to get, because it wasn't deep enough and strong enough. 10 years. We're not going to make that mistake with COVID.
But isn't the lesson there that it's not worth trying to get bipartisan legislation because it will weaken it and make it worse, and they're never going to vote for it anyway?
Our North Star has to be the legislation itself. It has to be big and bold and strong. If Republicans work with us to get good, strong legislation, yes. But I agree with you. I've made these arguments in numerous places. Look at 2008, where we spent a year and a half trying to get something good done, ACA, Obamacare, and we didn't do all the other things that had to be done. We will not repeat that mistake. We will not repeat that mistake.
All right. So we're not going to repeat that mistake. So how big will it go? Well, McConnell then went on to say, after this like weird time warp interview, the legislative filibuster was a key part of the foundation beneath the Senate's 50-50 power sharing agreement back in 2001. So we're going to continue it this time around. And we're going to stick with that precedent that we had back in 2001. Well, then Schumer also came out and declared victory. So McConnell declared victory and then Schumer declared victory. Said he hadn't caved to McConnell in their first head-to-head showdown since the Democrats won this new election. And he said, you know, look, that's very important for us. So we didn't cave. In the end, basically nothing happened other than Schumer didn't have the votes needed to get rid of the filibuster. And everyone knew it, including him. So his hand wasn't particularly strong. But Schumer didn't commit to any restrictions on the filibuster in the future. And basically, this sort of verbal agreement from Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema is basically, it could be thrown out at any moment if they want to. So basically he showed his colleagues that he was tough against McConnell, and if McConnell overplays his hand by abusing the filibuster, then Schumer may actually try to get the 50 votes needed to change the rules somewhere down the road. So basically that's it.
Yeah. Was that interview shot in a federal building? Because they were not wearing masks.
I believe it was in Senator Schumer's office. Yeah, it was. It was in the Capitol. It was off the room of the Capitol building. I actually have the room where it was.
Well, those.
I mean, I guess that's an interesting question. So they go in and do these interviews, and do they get screened ahead of time? Or are they just allowing them to not? I mean, it'd be interesting to see if she's going to do this in interview with a mask on, right? Like, would Rachel Maddow actually do that with a mask on her head? I don't know.
I mean, they'd sure make us if we were on federal property.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, where was that? I forget where exactly it was. Not sure. I couldn't find it off the top of my head here, but I had it in my notes somewhere. But yes, it was definitely on Capitol grounds, for sure. So people came out and said, look, we're glad Senator McConnell threw in the towel. This is what the official word now from Senator Schumer's office is, quote, we're glad that Senator McConnell threw in the towel and caved on his ridiculous demand. That was a Schumer spokesperson. Said, we look forward to organizing the Senate under Democratic control and getting big, bold things done for the American people, he said. So what are those big, bold things? Well, those big, bold things are stimulus. So where do we have now on the timeline dates for stimulus? So Congress plans to take steps this week to quickly passing President Biden's coronavirus aid proposals, including a third round of direct relief payments for the American people. Now, of course, the question will be around these $1,400 checks. I'm sure from a lot of progressives like myself would love to see it be what Bernie Sanders wants, what AOC wants it to be, which is $2,000 checks. But right now they sit at $1,400. That would top off the $600 payments that went out in late December. Now, that's not the president keeping his word. When he was in Georgia, of course, President Biden, President-elect Biden at the time, said, if you vote for John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, $2,000 checks will go out like next week in the mail. Well, that was impossible, and we all knew it was impossible. But at least it could have been 3 weeks. But now it's $1,400. So let's see if that number gets bumped up. I don't think that Republicans are going to stand for it at all. Well, right? Democrats and former President Trump wanted $2,000, but Republicans stood in the way.
What's so sad is people are so desperate right now that if he does get $1,400, they're going to be like, he helped us. He got us $1,400, because they're so desperate right now. So it's like anything would be good, $600, and they know that. But the point is, he promised $2,000. He didn't say the difference of the $600, because that $600 had already gone out.
No, it's a total game. I mean, it's a total game. So when we see that these are the headlines now, your next stimulus check, Congress to speed along the $1,400 payments this week. Great. What happened to the $2,000? Where are the $2,000? What happened to it?
So, like,
did your balls fall off?
Sharon is saying he said it would add up to be $2,000. No, he did not. He actually said $2,000 checks will go out ASAP, immediately.
Yeah, and then they play this little game, Sharon. They played this little game. Look, you know, this show is all about holding people accountable. I am not a Democrat. I am not a Republican. I'm an independent. And I on this show, because I'm not corporate media, I'm not bought and sold by big media like all of the TV channels you watch. We will call BS on both sides anytime they screw us. That's my commitment to you in doing this show. President Biden, President-elect Biden, went to Georgia and said, vote for John Ossoff, vote for Raphael Warnock, and $2,000 checks will go out as soon as next week.
Now, he may be saying the difference on the same thing now.
Oh, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're saying that difference now. Now that is exactly what they're doing. Now they're saying that this, you know, what we meant was $600 just passed, so we're going to combine that with the $1,400. It'll add up to $2,000. Well, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, disagreed with that. She immediately came out and said, no, $2,000 means $2,000. It does not mean $1,400. So here, you know, and are they going to get any sort of Republican help on this? You know, Mitch McConnell, probably not. He seems to think he's going to be in the land of this is going to be too big. Here was Mitch McConnell speaking last night on the Senate floor on this issue. If I bring his audio up, why can't I hear him? I apologize.
Is the B selected?
There we go. Sorry. That's what it was.
Democratic senators agree that it's not the right path forward. So as the $900 billion package from 5 weeks ago continues to come online, and as remaining needs continue to come into focus, Republicans will be ready and eager to continue bipartisan discussions about smart steps forward for the...
Because we always have. We've always been willing to work on a bipartisan basis to screw over the American people.
American people. Bipartisan action helped our nation endure the last year. Bipartisan action helped us turn the corner. And it will be smart bipartisan actions that help us finish the fight.
Yeah. So we had a chance in August to pass stimulus and help the American people. But we screwed them again because we were more concerned with passing legislation for big businesses.
You had a massive stimulus package sitting on your desk for months and you didn't do anything. Months. When all of the data and economists were showing, like other countries around the world, like you want to keep people out of poverty, pass stimulus. And now we have the data. I showed this to you a little bit last night, but this report, this new report out today shows just how important stimulus has been to keep these people out of poverty. So here's this report, and it's astonishing. I want to pull a few little clips from this to show you this new report that shows the increase in poverty in recent months. Look at the second paragraph. Well, I'll look at the top part of the paragraph here. Poverty rose by 2.4 percentage points, basically, in December. They added 8.1 million to the ranks of the poor. 8 million people have now been added to the poverty list in the United States from August until December. What happened in August and through to December, excuse me, August to December? What happened? You guys didn't do crap. Republicans were in charge. You had a Republican president. You had a Republican-led Senate. You didn't do crap. So we want to continue our commitment to continue the fight.
Clayton, you're wrong. You're wrong. They did do crap because, like, you guys, other countries like Japan paid 100% of people's wages during this pandemic. You know who else's wages got 100% paid during this? Defense contractors. They did pass the stimulus. Mm-hmm. For them. So they did do something, Clayton. So at least give them credit for that.
Oh, I'll give them credit. Let me see if I can find it here. This was the tweet that I saw last night. Let's see if I can bring this up here. Yeah, this was Robert Reich last night. So survival checks are too expensive, but a $716 billion Pentagon budget is no problem. This was last night, Robert Reich.
Well, and them paying the
former Labor Secretary under Clinton.
Them giving stimulus to the defense contractors for the employees, that's above, over and above that. So they can help them, but they can't help the people.
No, you can help all these defense contractors who literally had their businesses had to be closed. They could go home and then they could also get stimulus on top of that. But the American people screwed. So Mitch McConnell wants to talk about how, you know, now we want to continue this fight. When you look at these poverty numbers that were on your watch, Mitch McConnell, the increase in poverty in recent months was more noticeable for blacks, children, and those with a high school education or less. For blacks, poverty rose by 5.4 percentage points. Screwed once again. Poverty has also risen noticeably for those with a high school education or less, from 17% in June to 22% in December. The estimates also suggest that poverty rose more in states with less effective unemployment insurance systems. The recent overall rise raises concern. Look at this. Now, in our initial study, we also showed that the entire decline in poverty through June can be accounted for by the one-time stimulus checks. Oh, that's astonishing. So the one-time stimulus checks actually kept people out of poverty. In fact, absence of these programs, poverty would have risen sharply. So the one-time payments provided up to $1,200 to individuals and $2,400 to married couples kept people out of poverty.
Well, and people forget so quickly how when they increased the unemployment to $600 extra a week, the economy was booming for that little time. People were buying food. People were spending money. And, you know, the middle class actually was spending money, which helped everybody. That was the way it should have been. That right there completed the circle of the economy how it should be. It goes to the middle class. The middle class pays their rent. The middle class pays that. So the banks get it. They pay their car loans. The mortgage company, the landlords, everybody gets their money because the middle class got their money.
Exactly. And if you want to keep businesses afloat, how about give people money so they can actually go and spend money at those businesses? Imagine that. Remarkable. Think about that for a second. It's remarkable. Well, now there's a new Senate with Biden's Democratic Party in control. And that could make it easier for the new checks to pass, though there are a few potential challenges right now. And here's what to expect this week, plus the latest estimate on when you're actually likely to get more cash. Speaker Pelosi says the House, U.S. House, will fast-track Biden's plan with these committees now coming into place. So these are the headlines this morning that Nancy Pelosi will expect this to fast-track and vote on it this week. She says it could be completely ready for the full House to pass next week. Caitlin Collins from CNN, friend of mine, she pushed Jen Psaki, the new White House press secretary, hard on this this question, on this timeline for this bill. Psaki said she wouldn't put a deadline on it, but said the White House is mindful about the March deadline for unemployment insurance, which she called the unemployment cliff. So they need to move on this probably like this month to head off an interruption in unemployment benefits. So now, really, if you're wondering about the timeline on all of this, it looks like it's going to be March when we can actually see another stimulus package. I had hoped that we would see it like immediately, but they still haven't even managed to get those $600 checks out. And Biden has, you know, submitted a $600, or excuse me, an executive order the other day, wondering what the heck that happened to it. So we're going to hear from Mitt Romney in a second, but I want to tell you about our next friends in a moment. We're going to play for that. But so here was Mitt Romney. Actually, let me play that for you now. So here was Mitt Romney talking about this. He, whether or not he can work with Democrats on this issue, is going to be key to getting any sort of bipartisan legislation through. Here's what Mitt Romney had to say about working with Democrats on a stimulus package. Take a listen.
Pressing issue, maybe the most single pressing issue, and that's COVID. You have said that after the Congress passed a $900 billion COVID relief package just last month, that you don't have much interest in passing another Biden rescue plan for $1.9 trillion, more than double what you just passed. Are there some parts of the Biden rescue plan that you could support?
Well, I think that's very possible. Last time around, a bipartisan coalition came together to look at the needs of the American people and came up with the $900 billion plus plan. We'll listen to representatives of the White House today to understand their perspective. But if there are places that we missed in our proposal, we're happy to pick that up. The president wants to extend unemployment benefits. If people are still unemployed, that certainly is something we'd look at. We were of the view last time that states needed help, some rescue for states and localities that may have suffered a reduction in their revenues. That's appropriate. But the total figure is pretty shocking, if you will. And the idea that we need a stimulus is a little hard to understand because I'm one of those that's convinced that if you want to see this economy get going, we got to get beyond COVID. If we get beyond COVID, I believe that the economy is going to come roaring back and spending and borrowing trillions of dollars from the Chinese, among others, is not necessarily the best thing we can do to get our economy to be strong long term.
But you, as a billionaire, you're doing just fine with all of your hedge fund money, all of your, you know, your ability to go in with private equity and destroy businesses and make all kinds of, you're doing fine, Mitt.
Well, and do you think there was any...
I love these rich guys that can sit on this throne and they can just like, that's too big of a price tag, but it's okay for us to spend all this money on defense money and big businesses.
Do you think any of them got their checks? Like, oh, my check didn't come. A congressman or senator or all these new people coming in, you think they got their checks right away? Or you think they're like, oh, it's in the mail. It'll get there eventually.
Yeah, I'm sure they got their health care taken care of. I'm sure they got their direct deposits. Their brand new senators and new House members, they're, you know, I'm sure they got their payments. No doubt about it. Right on time, right? Right on time. That's how they roll. Let me know in the chat. Do you think that Democrats should work with Republicans on this or push for this budget reconciliation process that will steamroll Republicans? Right now, it's looking like this timeline is going to be March. Can you survive that long? Wait, let me know in the chat right now. At what point do your bills come due? At what point do you run out of this of money? How many of you have already run out of money? We have a link in our chat today, or excuse me, in our show description, where I created a petition yesterday to go and demand $2,000 stimulus checks until the end of this pandemic. I want you all to sign this petition. We've got 20,000 of you watching right now. 20,000 of you. Go and subscribe, or excuse me, well, yes, please subscribe to my channel. I'd appreciate that. That's one thing you could do. But the next thing to do, please, is in the description, I've got a petition that I created. Demand our members of Congress push for $2,000 stimulus checks until the end of this pandemic. We had hundreds of you sign it overnight. So let's get this groundswell up. Change.org is actually pushing it out to a larger audience now because we've got so many signatures on it. So continue. Put your signature there. If you want stimulus, $2,000. And frankly, I would want it retroactive back to March, just like other countries did. We're the richest country in the world. There's no friggin' way that we shouldn't have this type of money in the hands of the American people to get us through this. Ridiculous. So that is in the show description below. We have got a lot more news to get to today. I'm going to get to that in just a second. I want to tell you about our friends over at Take Care Of. So that's the name of the company, Take Care Of. So all of Care Of's products are formulated with good-for-you, clean ingredients. They're backed by science. And if you want to get on a good vitamin plan that helps you feel your best today and supports you long-term, what you do is you go to their website, you go take the quiz. You click on take the quiz, and you walk through the process asking you about your lifestyle. And you walk through all of the different steps. It'll only take about 5 minutes to go through the whole process. And it asks you questions about your diet, your lifestyle, your health concerns, and your wellness goals. And they have an online holistic quiz. It gets you one-on-one consultation with a nutritionist without leaving your house. So you get a personally tailored approach to your unique health needs. Very easy to do. And you can celebrate your little victories this year. You don't have to make a big resolution, but make small, impactful ones. You know, like you want to just improve your sleep quality, or you want to, you know, add a daily vitamin to help support your energy or your fitness goals. All of that you need to do, and check it out. So it's great if you want to get your high quality care taken care of online. Very easy to do. And right now it's the middle of the winter, right? So this is a time when people are really vitamin deficient this time of year. They're not getting enough sunlight. This is a great opportunity for you to take advantage of this. And by the way, you're going to get a great little discount, 50% off your first order. 50% off. That's pretty awesome. Just by using our code INVEST50. So you need to take some, you need to get some new vitamins. Here's a chance for you to save some money. Go to takecareof.com, enter code INVEST50 for 50% off. Again, it's, you got to use the URL too. It's takecareof.com. Takecareof.com, enter code INVEST50 to get 50% off your first order. So our thanks to them for their support of the show. All right, let's talk about what Twitter's doing. And this is something we should all be concerned about. We should all be concerned about this idea of censorship by these social media companies. So Twitter just rolled out a new thing called Twitter Birdwatch. Thank you for signing up the petition, by the way. Betty signed the petition. Way to go. So Twitter has announced that it's going to be employing a new community-driven approach to help address misleading information, they say. They're calling it Birdwatch, which media companies are basically comparing to the model of, like Forbes, for instance. like they're calling it like a Wikipedia style, like the model of content moderation used by Wikipedia. And the tweet says this: Twitter unveiled a feature Monday meant to bolster its efforts to combat misinformation. This is what NBC said when they released this information and disinformation by tapping users in a fashion similar to Wikipedia to flag potentially misleading tweets, reports NBC. The new system allows users to discuss and provide context to tweets they believe are misleading or false. The project is called Birdwatch. It's a standalone section of Twitter that will at first only be available to a small set of users, largely on a first-come, first-served basis. So Twitter says, in their own release, they said, "We know there are a number of challenges towards building a community-driven system like this, from making it resistant to manipulation attempts to ensuring it isn't dominated by a simple majority of people on the internet." That's what Twitter's official statement says. It says, we will be focused on these things throughout the pilot program of Birdwatch. Other reports, though, point out how this does really little to reassure anyone who's familiar with the sort of establishment narratives on this whole thing, where they're going to take control and it's going to look just like Wikipedia. We should all be happy about that, right? That it's going to look just like Wikipedia. Like Ben Norton discovered over at the Gray Zone when he tweeted this: Wikipedia is a scam. It's a propaganda vehicle for intelligence agencies, governments, corporations, and PR flacks. He did a big two-part report last year on the way that there's all these concerted, like aggressive efforts by a small group of like shady-looking Wikipedia editors that dominate the site's articles, which relate to Western imperialist agendas. And the reporters who support or oppose those agendas, including getting outlets like Wikipedia and the Gray Zone banned. He says, this extremely shady user, Philip Cross, edits all day, every day, 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., posting nonstop pro-war propaganda, including almost every edit on Max Blumenthal's page. Like, who's this guy, Philip Cross, who spends all day, every day editing pages so that it's pro-war propaganda?
Well, and it's quote,
Wikipedia quote unquote, is a joke.
Quote unquote user. Just to point out that this guy has no, he's not credentialed in any way. He's just a guy
just
in his basement,
user.
In his mom's basement.
Right.
6-inch fingernails.
Like, who is this guy? Who's this mysterious guy that's randomly editing Wikipedia pages all day? Like, he's there doing it all day, and all he's doing is posting pro-war propaganda, which supports the military-industrial complex, which supports the billionaires that back these websites. So if you think for a second getting information from Wikipedia is accurate, you need to have your head examined. If ever you have one of your children come to you and said, "Oh, I'm doing a report for school. I'm going to get my information from Wikipedia," please laugh and please help them, guide them to accurate sources of information. So this idea that Twitter now is going to, this establishment with this sort of community-driven approach to information can so, you know, is held up like this bastion of truth. It's garbage. Like, Wikipedia pages are manipulated and faked on a regular basis. And people can have their entire careers, ruined by misinformation on there. It's ridiculous. Information control can easily be exploited. All it takes is well-funded groups, well-funded media groups that have a vested interest in doing it to manipulate it. And so if you do searches for something, it's very difficult to get a search ranking higher than Wikipedia and Google. Because they're all in cahoots with each other, right? Wikipedia search results, when you type in, like, to get answers on something, Wikipedia is always the first result. Why? Why? Ask yourself why that is. Like, we need to start questioning all of this. So this misinformation sits at the top of Google. And Google, by the way, is part of this corporate elite establishment. So of course they're going to drive this misinformation.
And what I was going to say is my ex-girlfriend, she was big in the tech world. She had like 2.9 million followers, whatever. And on her ex wrote her Wikipedia, and it says she's a libertarian who doesn't believe in climate control, and she can't get it changed. Or climate change, I mean. She can't get it changed. Like, it says that on her Wikipedia. So if anybody searches for her, which they do, they see that. That affects people getting her jobs and stuff like that. I mean, you know, as far as like brand deals and stuff. So it's important information that needs to be changed, and she can't change it. It has to be, there's no rule. There's no like clear path on how you can even edit the damn things. Yeah. Phil Cross can, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you want to get something changed on there, that's totally inaccurate, or someone's out to get you or try to hurt you or ruin your business, they can do that. And the problem is that so many people believe that I saw it on Wikipedia. Yeah, but if you actually like read Ben Norton's great piece where he exposes why Wikipedia is a scam. When he says it, Ben Norton, The Gray Zone, Wikipedia is a scam. It's a propaganda vehicle for intelligence agencies, governments, corporations, and PR flacks. That's all it is. So if anyone ever says to you again, "Well, I saw it on Wikipedia," just laugh in their face. Okay? That is not accurate information. It's run by exactly those types of people. Propaganda. Propagandists who put forth an agenda. And then, of course, Google puts it up high in search results, because it's all part of one big corporate narrative. So the fact that now Twitter, which has already been functioning that way anyway, as a form of a propaganda arm of the United States government, because its willingness to like deplatform accounts that, you know, from imperialism, targets like Iran, Venezuela, Russia, China. They can take President Trump off of there. They can take, you know, anyone that they want, they can remove their accounts. So can you really just sit here and tell me right now watching, let me know your thoughts on this. Do you expect this bias will only go one way? It'll only go against China, or it'll only go against Iran? How soon until it comes to progressives who want universal health care or universal basic income or want us to end foreign wars? How soon until Twitter starts deplatforming those accounts? Just like Facebook started doing yesterday and over the weekend. The stories we brought you about those socialist organizations that were for equality were being removed, totally shut down. How soon until Twitter does that? I love this idea. This really infuriates me. When I saw this story, I just couldn't. It really made me mad to think that people with blue check marks. Look, I'm on Twitter. I have a blue check mark next to my name. The thought that because I've never spread, who's to say if I've ever spread misinformation? I might have retweeted something that wasn't accurate. But now basically Twitter's saying, if you've got a blue check mark next to your name and you haven't spread misinformation or been flagged for spreading misinformation, then you can be one of these editors. You can be one of these Karens, one of these hall monitors.
Well, you know what sucks about
that? You can censor other people.
You cannot get a blue check mark anymore. You know, unless you're a politician or media or something like that, they even shut down the program. So that means that people like me who, and I would never do it, but somebody new that could help manage that stuff, it's not possible. Those check marks go to elite people anyway.
Right. Oh, you're in the media? Oh, you work for a media organization? Then you get a blue check mark. You're a Hollywood celebrity? You get a blue check mark. You're just a random person that wants change in the United States in a good way. You want equality for workers' rights? No, sorry. Can't get you a blue check mark. Sorry. But I love the way that Forbes frames it here. Twitter launches Birdwatch, a Wikipedia-style approach to fight misinformation. Oh, yeah. Look at all how... Just if you see these articles floating around today, I want you all to laugh. Do me a favor. Because this is how the mainstream media lies to you, folks. If you see these articles being shared on social media and they use the word Wikipedia in their article headlines, trying to lay claim that this is some bastion of truth, You know better.
That's like
it's garbage.
The United States military, a global force to fight for peace.
Right. Exactly. Now, look, I love you. You know, I like Twitter. Someone said, like, I admit I like Twitter. I like Twitter. I've used it for years. I mean, it's a, to me, I almost think Twitter should be treated as a public utility. Like water, sewer, gas. I mean, heck, think about what happened in the Arab Spring. We were able to get information out from these revolutions in the Middle East during the Arab Spring. The only way news organizations, I can tell you because I worked at Fox at the time, the only way we were able to get information from reporters and people inside what was happening, the truth, was from people who were posting on Twitter inside the Arab Spring, rising up in these countries. Because the state media was lying. The state media was tamping down these stories. But then in the United States now, we ban people's accounts. We just shut down world leaders. We deplatform these people. Like, I am no fan of Donald Trump at all. But once you start down that slippery slope, you already see where it's going. And we should all be concerned about this. So let me know your thoughts on that. Drop me a comment below and weigh in on that. Do you agree with me? If you agree with me, then smash that like button.
People are asking about the petition. I had Parham create a link. Morninginvest.com/sign. Those of you looking for the petition, it's on the screen right now.
Okay, perfect. I should have thought of that, but I didn't. That's okay. Why you're a producer and I'm not.
Exactly.
Annette Jackson says, Clayton, I guess you're too busy to answer my question. Sorry, Annette. I'm just sort of in the middle of a show, but no, let me see.
Yeah, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of comments and questions coming in.
Annette, I will try to answer your question. We'll answer some questions here as soon as I finish my last story, and then I'll open it up for questions, okay? So get in any super chat questions you have, and I will answer some of your questions right after I do this next story. I promise, Annette, if you ask it, I will get to it. But I was in a roll. I was in a flow. I was fired up about Twitter. Can't ruin my flow. I saw this cartoon. I think it's a good one. Neoliberalism is no longer viable, Joe. Punching corporate Joe in the chest. Working class solidarity. But corporate hegemony. But look where his foot is, kicking him right in the balls, by the way. So these are the kinds of things we need to worry about. We think we're getting some, you know, we think we're standing strong, going to fight back against this corporate elitism. Just watch out where they kick you. Because it's always right there. It's always right there, ready to happen.
Come on, man.
Sorry, Joe. So I want to talk about this real quick because I think this is indicative of where things are going. And this is why I thank all of you for supporting independent journalism and subscribing to my channel, because we, again, are not run by the mainstream media. We are not run by CNN or MSNBC or Fox or any of them. We are independent, and we can cover stories that blast both sides until they want to deplatform me, I guess. I don't know. But we'll continue to do it as long as I can. So thank you for your support. So a new report out this morning shows just how many people are ditching their cable news subscriptions altogether. So Axios has a new report that shows the pandemic has taken a huge toll on cable. How many of you still have a cable subscription? Like, how many of you tune in to mainstream media? Let me know in the chat, like, how many of you are watching CNN, MSNBC, Bloomberg, C-SPAN, or CNN, all of those, CNBC, all of those different channels. Well, guess what? Pay television industry got a huge punch to the stomach in the past few months. And the near-term future of live sports, of course, is all in question, too, because the ratings for those plummeted. So things are only going to get worse for these cable channels. So why does this even matter? Because your daily habits for watching television and what you pay for are changing super fast, and these big cable channels are really in trouble, and they're scared about it. And I couldn't be more pleased with it, because I hate mainstream media. It's so it's so transparently biased and so transparently run by corporate elites, and it blocks the very stories that I think are important to all of us. And just look at these numbers. So the pay TV subscriptions right now have plummeted versus non-pay television has risen dramatically. And this pandemic is going to drive cable and satellite TV providers to lose the most subscribers they've ever seen in their history. According to new market data this morning from eMarketer, early estimates suggest that roughly 5 million people canceled their cable subscriptions last year. 5 million people. Man, they got to be sweating over there in the mainstream media dinosaur news networks, don't you think? 5 million people bail on you? And there's so many people who watch our show that are like, I'm never going back to mainstream media. I'm not getting cable anymore. Why would I do it? I can watch, you know, a show like this on the internet. I can get the truth here. Why would I pay to have these corporate shills lie to me? Last year's lockdown slowed cord cutting. Think about this. The lockdowns slowed the cord cutting. That 5 million represents a slowed cord cutting. That is astonishing. 5 million people in a pandemic when all you can do is watch television cut their cable. And this was a slower number than we thought would happen. But estimates are that it's going to accelerate again once the country starts reopening again, because streaming has taken off during the pandemic, hugely, which is going to push more and more consumers to cut the cord. I mean, heck, you know, you get your Disney Plus or whatever, you get your Netflix, or you just get your internet and you just want to watch YouTube. One forecast, according to this data, expects that pay television subscriptions are going to shrink by 36% in the next few years. So what's next? Like, what's going to happen with sports, too? Well, all these sports contracts are said to expire in the next few years. Like, would the NFL want to stay on CBS or these other, you know, these other channels, ESPN, et cetera? Are they going to say, I'm going to go to Apple or I'm going to go to Amazon Prime? What's going to happen? You're going to be watching stuff on these different, like, app channels now all over the internet, or YouTube. Maybe Google will make a deal, you know? And Google and YouTube will have sports. That's what's going to happen. So this whole system is about to, you see this Comcast subscription, this whole pay TV section history is going to start to collapse. I love it. Because all of these big money, you know, news anchors and all the money that goes for this ridiculous stuff, 30 cameras for a show, all of that kind of stuff, is going to start to fall by the wayside. And it was kind of funny to watch, too, this year, don't you think, when, like, our channel here, like, we're able to do this with a few cameras and a really good internet connection. And then you saw all of those networks scrambling to figure out how to do streaming from home. Like, these reporters were, like, now at home. They couldn't come into their big, fancy New York offices and their big, fancy studios. And they were at home with, like, a crappy web camera, terrible lighting in their microphone. They didn't even wear a microphone, so you couldn't hardly understand them. It was funny to watch all of them sort of scramble with that. I just enjoy it. I just enjoy that we're actually maybe making a move to start to get more information out to people, that people are seeing the light, that they can cancel these kind of cable subscriptions and actually be more informed instead of less informed by watching that crap. Getting real stories that you're not going to see covered in the mainstream media. Heck, why did Andrew Yang basically launch his presidential campaign on the internet? On Joe Rogan's show. He couldn't get an interview on MSNBC because they didn't want a guy like that. They didn't want a guy who wanted to push for universal basic income and those types of things. And that's why these people are losing. Imagine if they would tell the truth, how many more people might actually want to pay for a channel like that. But they don't. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it in the chat. Please subscribe to the channel. If you're not already a subscriber, right down here, you can subscribe. Hit the little Morning Invest logo. We do this show every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. We've also been doing our afternoon show as a bit of an experiment. I hope you'll join us for that as well. We're kind of playing around with that different format at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So check us out there as well. We may adjust. I don't know. We're still playing around with that concept. We'll see maybe through this week, and then we'll see how it goes. So please, if you enjoy that, subscribe and turn on that little bell notification so you'll be notified when we go live. So let me open it up for some Q&A here. Do we have any good questions coming in our super chats and others? I think we had a lot of new channel members today as well. So welcome to our 32 new channel members as well. Thank you for supporting independent journalism. Anonymous. Are you able to put these up on the screen or no? Are you able to put...
Well, not once they're passed, I'm not. I mean, I've got like 188 pages of comments that I would have to go through to find them.
I didn't know if it separated some or not or whatever. Okay, so I'm seeing here, Anonymous sent me a super chat. Says, that's why I don't have social media anymore. Yeah. I agree. Toramon sent me a super chat. Thank you. So if I don't file taxes before the third stimulus rolls out, would I have to wait for 2021 to get my twins born in 2020 stimulus checks? If I don't file taxes before the third stimulus rolls out, would I have to wait for 2021 to get my twins stimulus checks? I don't know the answer to that on the tax front. I don't know quite. If I don't file the taxes before the third stimulus, they were born in 2020. So they would get a tax credit on their 2021 tax returns. So this is when you file in 2021, they would get a tax return. But it shouldn't matter if you file your taxes now. Because they are going to probably, we don't know yet. That's the answer, honestly. We don't know how they're going to base this because we don't have a bill yet. So I can't answer that, Toramon, because I don't have a bill. Just Hope says, how late am I to the show? We started an hour ago. Come on. So we don't have a bill yet, but there, if we look at the way that they used the last round of stimulus last year, they based it on your 2019 tax returns. So if they're using the CARES Act as a template, then chances are they're going to use your 2020 tax returns as a template. But it looks like the IRS is allowing you to, they may be allowing you to manipulate some of that data to update through hardship, et cetera, or other family circumstances like having a child, et cetera. So I think that'll depend. And they're also going to go off of census data from what I understand. Samantha says, will you have Andrew Yang on your show? I'd love to hear his plans on UBI and his more progressive policies. I would love to. I've been in touch with his team member, Carl, and we've been just trying to work out to get him here on the show. So I would love that. Kathy says, what are the best streaming channels for sports? I don't know. I guess it depends on where you are. I mean, if you use, you know, Hulu Live or Hulu TV, it's good for sports. So is, I know one. What is it called? I think the best one. Google TV is really good. YouTube TV. Did they change the name of it? It's YouTube, Google TV, and then there's best.
YouTube Premium.
We had it accessed. Cool. Oh, okay. Well,
there's YouTube Premium, then there's also YouTube TV, which is like your cable channels.
Yeah, there was a FUBU. That's the name of it. FUBO TV. FUBU TV is probably the best overall for sports. I subscribed to them for a little while. You can get like college basketball, hockey, football, soccer, international soccer, you know, everything. So FUBU TV is probably the best for that. But a lot of them are pretty good, like YouTube TV, Hulu TV, Hulu Live is good, and Sling TV. All of those have a lot of good sports packages, but FUBU has the best. Denise Gibson says, when will the stimulus pass? Why don't they get this done? The stimulus package will get bogged down in quagmire. When will the stimulus pass? I don't know, but they're going to bring it through the legislative process as early as this week, and it could come up for a vote as early as next week. The problem is that we're up against an unemployment deadline in the next few weeks on into March as the next round of unemployment benefits dries up. So we've got a deadline of March. So they've got to get something done fast within the next few weeks to pass so that we don't miss a beat and that people don't get screwed out of unemployment benefits. Let's see. Rumble Gold says, I love Andrew Yang. I was hoping to vote for him. I was pretty mad when he was ousted. Yeah, I do too. Thank you for our new channel members. Rose, Diane Perez, Vernetta Hobson is a new channel member. Thank you so much as well. Shadon Gilbert is a channel member. Thank you. Catherine DeRossier. Am I saying your last name right, Catherine, for your super chat? Thank you, Clayton, for what you do. You're awesome. I never cared about politics until I see your video. Now I'm hooked. I appreciate that. You know, I was a history major. I love politics. So, and I think it's tied to everything that we do, right? When David talks about streaming rights and all, I mean, it's tied to everything. You know, our government, I mean, stimulus, taxes, business, health, wellness, healthcare. If you don't understand politics and you don't educate yourself around your political leaders and making sure that you make them, you know, they have to stand for you. Throwing out these people, these corporate elite politicians who are bought and sold by lobbyists. Like, this is why I do this show, because it's so important for us to be educated on these issues. And I see so many people suffering around these questions.
Yeah, I just want to bring up really quick, you guys, like, you, those of you that get frustrated that we don't answer your questions, you got to understand, we have thousands of people in here. This is how I'm monitoring chat, right? And look, if I scroll down here, I have 203 pages of comments. These are all pages of comments, okay? I cannot throw up every single question on it. So if you guys have to understand, we try. The reason we're able to see super chats is because YouTube logs that in the back end, so Clayton can go to the back end and see all the super chats. They come through as regular messages for me. So understand, we try really hard, and this is not me controlling the narrative like some people are saying, like I'm censoring everybody by only pulling up what I want Clayton to see. That is definitely not true. We really, really try hard, but you guys got to understand, there's like, when you've got 20,000 people viewing and 4,000 members, it's not easy.
Let's just play a little game here. Let's just play. Okay, everyone watching right now, I hope you guys are all subscribers to the channel. Okay, first, please subscribe. But I want to play a little game. Let's have some fun. Okay, so we have right now, there's different ways. Let me just give you the back end story on YouTube here. Our live chat, okay, I'm watching it the whole show. So sitting here right now, I've got three monitors, got the camera up here. I've got my buttons for different videos. If I want to pull up a picture, I want to pull up a, you know, this or whatever. I got my different buttons and so forth. I've got my Stream Deck. I've got a lot of things happening. I've got a whole column over here of questions flying through on the chat. And I'm watching throughout the show. So as I'm doing a story, I'm watching your feedback throughout the show. I might not be able to answer every one of them because I'm going to play another soundbite by a senator, et cetera. So I'm keeping my eye on your stuff the whole time, right? So, but here's what happens. Right now we have our members only chat turned on. And the reason we do that is so we have a better chat experience, okay? And we actually have it on slow-mo mode, which means what we have it set so you can only post a comment every 3 minutes. That way it gives everyone an opportunity to be able to post a comment. Because, you know, sometimes in a chat, there'll be one person that'll be like, they keep typing the same thing over and over and over again, and they post 30 times. That helps us to keep it like a sane experience. We want this show to be a sane experience for people, okay? Now, we have members-only chat turned on. If I turn off members only chat, I want you just to watch in the chat right now. Watch what happens, okay? I'm going to turn off, or can you do it, David? You want to turn it off?
Yeah, I can do it real quick.
Is it easier for you? Turn off members only chat. Now I want you to watch. If we didn't have it on, okay, what would happen?
I'm turning off slow mode too. Here we go.
Katrina says, stop it. You're censoring me. You better than learn to multitask. Come on, man.
Yeah, I know, and Christina, I'm just sharing this because it's like a lot of people say this, and we get it in the comments and everything. And then here, I'm running the show here. This is the production, so I have to also throw up all this stuff. So I have to like see what we're throwing up and all this other stuff, and then comments and all that, and switching graphics. So here we go. Watch the chat now. This is with members only.
Yes, there's
off.
The chat. So now just keep your eye on it. Can you guys read that? Is that a good experience for you? Or is that a total shit experience?
It's not. And you know right? What? You guys.
Now, this is how other channels do it, by the way, like that don't care about their community. And we want this to be a good experience. So when we're watching live, I can ask you guys a question and get an answer. And I can actually see the answers, right? If I ask you a question right now, holy smokes, I can't even read it. You know, unless I was Data from Star Trek or something like.
Just so people understand, like you guys that are not subscribers and stuff, this is not a money grab. We're not trying to I mean, we do like the support because it helps support the channel. It's not cheap to run a channel like this, but the idea is to just make it a better experience for you. So if we have nothing against people that cannot afford. That's why we keep it public. We could do the chats private or the whole stream private if we wanted to. But we want you guys to still be able to watch and participate. But in order to manage it so that you have even a slightly decent experience, that's why we go members only.
Someone just said, I can't read it. Stop it. Stop it. I can't read. Okay, you made your point. Stop it. Stop. So we love everyone who watches us. We just want to make the chat a great experience. Again, this is the only morning show on the internet that cares about its audience where we have live interaction during the show. Any of the other live streaming shows that you watch, chances are they're not going to interact with their viewers. They have guests on their show. They have interviews. They're not paying attention to the chat. So we really, really, really want you to be a part of our community here. We want to make it a good experience for you. I want to be able to read it during the show. I want to be able to glance down and see your responses to a story that we're covering. And so this is what we have right now to work on. So thank you to all of our channel members. Thank you to everyone who watches, you know, and who supports us. If you're not a channel member, that's great too. Just, you know, share the show with somebody else. That's another way that you can show your support for our community is to share it on Facebook. Give us a like. That's another big way you can help us as well. And subscribe. Just be a regular subscriber to the channel is all we ask. So thanks so much for your support of the show. I really, really appreciate it today. Grover thanks you as well.
Well, and somebody
said back outside now that he's done barking.
It's only $5. It's not. It's $1.99. It's $1.99 is all it costs if you guys want to become a member and chat. So we made it. I mean, we could set it at whatever we want. We don't have to have the $1.99 level at all. There's a lot of channels that don't. But we wanted to make it affordable so that more people can chat, and it just makes it a better experience, and it helps support the channel.
Yeah, so that's our little public service announcement. So if anyone's curious about that process, now you understand. Okay. Love you guys. Love you guys. Grover loves you. Thank you, everyone. We will see you back here later this afternoon for our 4 p.m. Eastern live show, and we will see you there. So be sure you're a channel subscriber and turn on that bell notification, and you'll receive a little notification when we are live later this afternoon with the latest news on the stimulus front, what the government is doing to screw you over. And our job is to keep them accountable. So we'll see you back here later on, everyone. Bye now.